I'm really glad to be here. I'm Mish, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mish.
I live in Oakland. I spoke here maybe a year ago or so. I really like this meeting. It's anyway, it's nice to be here again, and I wish I could come more often. I'll just tell briefly what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. I'm a hardcore, low-bottom, eat-till-I-die, compulsive overeater. I was born this way. I really do not remember any day in my life where food was just something that you ate to stay alive. It was always a reward, a punishment. I always ate till I was stuffed. Grew up in a very, dysfunctional household. And food became my, my thing. It was definitely my thing. Blah, 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 I've been in OA, I'll just cut to the chase, I was suicidal, homicidal over my eating. I couldn't stop eating. I would cut school, I was a fat bulimic, so, my top weight, well, I stopped weighing at 180, so, if you don't weigh yourself, you're not fat, right? So, if no one sees you eat something, then it doesn't count. So, I really don't really know. And over the years, my pictures have gotten lost. I looked around, I can't find them. But in 1977, I walked through the doors of my first meeting in Concord. I grew up out there. Don't hold that against me. I knew I had found my home. I'd been trying all kinds of stuff. I'd gone to diet places where they hand you a diet and they weigh you. Back then there were these little things called AIDS candies, not the AIDS we know today, but I ate the whole box. Mm-hmm. You were supposed to have one or melt it in water and drink it. I don't know, stupid shit, but whatever. There's just, it was me and the food always won. That's just how my life was. And I was really hopeless and desperate and so afraid, and I was bulimic too, so I would just gorge myself, most of the time ice cream, and then I'd be puking my guts out. And I thought, man, and I was 17 when I got here, and this was before that, and I was like, man, I'm going to be 25. It seemed like it was so far. I'm going to be 25 and still be doing this. Oh, my God. And I thought, or I could just choke and die right here. Like, they'll find me one day just dead on the bathroom floor, and they'll know what I'd been doing. So I got here, and it was such a relief to know. I thought I was really the only one in the world that had this kind of thing with food. I think members of my family may have been compulsive overeaters too, but I just didn't, nobody had that driving compulsion that I knew of like I had, where, I just couldn't stop myself. I couldn't control myself. Once I got the idea that I'm going to go get this thing, I'd drive through bad neighborhoods. And back then, in the good old days, there were no 24-hour Safeways. You had to go to like a bad neighborhood to find a 7-Eleven open. At 3 o'clock in the morning when you want some food and there's no binge food around. So, food just controlled my life completely. And I just had no hope that it would never not control my life completely. So when I got here, I was so relieved. It's like, oh, wow, I'm not alone. This is a disease. I didn't understand a lot. I was only 17. Everybody was old. Now I'm old. I didn't, what does a serenity prayer mean? It didn't really make sense to me, and I didn't understand it at all. But I knew that if anything was going to help me to stop eating compulsively, it would be this. So I kept coming. It took me about 4 years to get abstinent. So I've been abstinent since April of 81. And during those 4 years, was pretty rough, being in OA and continuing to eat, wiping crumbs off my face, as I walked through the door of the meeting. But I knew that I just had to keep coming back, and they kept telling me, just keep coming back, Mish, just keep coming back, because you have a chance if you keep coming back. If you don't keep coming back, who knows, right? So I just kept coming. And finally, Lo and behold, I actually took the steps, and they worked. Starting with step one, you know, where it's, I brought my, I'm a big book thumper. My favorite meeting is the Tuesday night big book study in Piedmont. And there's a line here in More About Alcoholism that says, you know, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were, I'm just going to change the words, compulsive overeaters. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people or presently may be has to be smashed. And that's what happened for me when I finally took step one. Because every time I ate, you know, I had good intentions. Like, okay, this time when I eat this thing, I'm going to have one, I'm going to stop, and then I'm going to be cured. Like, this is my thinking, you guys. Like, really? You know, like, I've never been able to eat one of those things, but if I could just do it one time, I thought, then I would never want to eat, you know, 100 million of them. And so, of course, I would eat that first one. And, of course, the compulsion gets set up, and, of course, I eat the whole thing. And I did this over and over and over again. And the day I got abstinent was the day I was like, oh, why didn't they tell me I'm powerless over food? Oh, I'm like a man who's lost his legs. He never grows new ones. Oh, really? I mean, I can never eat this stuff, you know? And sometimes I go to meetings and, you know, new people come in and like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can go the rest of my life without eating such and such of a food. I'm like, please, God, let me go the rest of my life without eating such and such a food because that food will kill me. So, you know, that's really my bottom line is that, you know, this is disease and I have it. And I love this part here where it says, this is about the, back in More About Alcoholism, the guy talks about the man with the carpet slippers, you know, he retires at 55 and he's like, oh, he hasn't been drinking. I'm like, okay, I can drink now. And in 4 years, he's dead. And this paragraph here, this case contains a powerful lesson. Most of us have believed that if we remain sober long enough, for a long enough stretch, we could thereafter drink normally. But here's a man who at 55 found he was just where he left off at 30. We have seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. If we are planning to stop drinking, I wasn't really planning to stop. I just didn't. I really wasn't. I just wanted to be able to eat what I wanted and not get fat. I mean, that was really my thing. There must be no reservation of any kind nor any lurking notion that someday we will be immune. And so when that compulsion with food was lifted for me, it was like, it was a miracle because I really thought that nothing could stop that compulsion. And so all this time's gone by, right? And I've been through a lot of stuff in life and abstinence. And I'll just come right to today. So I go to a lot of meetings. I love going to meetings. I sponsor people. I read this book. I've been reading this book since 1977, and I never get tired of it. It's pretty amazing. I can't think of any other book that I would read for this long and always get something different out of it. And there's these big book adders that come in the night and they stick stuff in here that you never saw. Yeah. So my book is full of stuff that the big book adders came in and that I didn't see before. So a couple of weeks ago, I've always had this kind of bucket list thing to go to Akron, Ohio, because they have all this stuff, you know, because that's where AA was founded. And so they have this thing every year to celebrate Dr. Bob's first day of sobriety, which was June 10th, 1935. And on the second weekend in June, they have this thing called Founders Day. And I had asked a bunch of people, oh, let's go, I want to go, who wants to go? Nobody wanted to go. I'm like, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to go. So I'm telling you, like, this was like the one, if I were to rank like the top five experiences of my life, I would say going to Dr. Bob's house, going to Dr. Bob's grave, being in this environment where, like, the heartbeat of recovery is there, just, the welcoming of everybody that was there, seeing the typewriter where he typed the big book, the bed that Bill Wilson slept on upstairs when they were, you know, the hospital, Dr. Bob's grave. I went to the Mayflower Hotel. They still have the phone booth there. They have the church directory on the wall. You see the elevator where Bill Wilson came out, and there was the bar, and there was the phone, and he was like, where do I go? Where do I go? And thank God. Wow. Thank you. Thank God he went to the phone, and he found Dr. Bob. So it was really an amazing thing to be part of that celebration and to celebrate the recovery that I have had the privilege and the honor of. It's a gift that I received, you know, through these steps. Like, it's like, I don't understand how these steps work. I mean, I look at this stuff like, this is crazy. Like, why does this work? How does this work? I don't know. I really have no idea. How does this work? All I know is that today, so far, I haven't had to eat compulsively, you know, and I didn't have to yesterday, and if I keep doing what I do today, I probably won't have to tomorrow either. And every day is a gift of abstinence it's there for me. Like, we're all abstinent right now, you know, like, no matter what you did before you got here, I don't see anybody eating, right? So we're all abstinent right now. Your abstinence can start any time. It can start right now. It's right now. It is starting right now because there's nobody eating right now. So, you know, it like, keeping coming back, you know, it's just such a miracle. And I'm just, like, so this morning I woke up and I got him and like, I don't want to go to Marin. I want to go to my, because I have my regular home group is right up the street, right? And it's a step study meeting, and we're on step 3, and I love that meeting. And I'm like, you know what though? It's like, it's a privilege to come and share my recovery, because I can't keep it unless I give it away. And so here's a whole new group of people I can give it away to and just say, hey, if it can work for me, it can work for anybody. Because I really thought the compulsion was so strong. There was just nothing that could stop it in me. And yet here I am today, you know, and I've been a normal weight for, you know, my clothes are the same in my closet year after year. The clothes actually wear out, or I don't like them anymore. Like, I used to have all kinds of sizes in my closet, you know, because I was, and they were all stretch pants, and I was either on the way up or I was on the way down. You know, I was also anorexic too, and my low weight was around 97, which was terrible, but that lasted like 4 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, all right, well, here I am, folks, and I'm super skinny, and I should get, and I was in high school, right, so I should be the homecoming queen, I should get straight A's, and Prince Charming is going to come knocking on my door. 4 minutes, like, all right, well, you know what, screw that. And I gained 30 pounds in a month. Like, I just ate nonstop for a month. So people were, like, horrified as I was going down, and then they're even more horrified as I'm going up. And it was like, I'm sure they were taking bets. Like, is Mish going to come back from summer vacation, like, super skinny or super fat? You know, and nobody knew, right? I didn't know, you know? So, anyway, super, super grateful that this program works, that we're here together today to share our recovery, to share experience, strength, and hope. I can't do it alone, you know. I mean, this book is great, but without the people, I can't do it. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you. All right.